moments here. I can tell you guys are listening. If you have your Bible, would you turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 5? And the thing I like, you can read your Bible however you want to do it. I'm just going to make a little plug here because I like my Bible. I like my Bibles. And I like to mark in my Bible so that when I come back, I'll sometimes look at the date and perhaps the Holy Spirit taught me something and I can go back to that. And so, Romans chapter 5. You know, I meant to say that when I buy Walmart, I'm going to have a dress code. No pajamas. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
No unkempt hair. The older I get, the more opinionated I get. I just can't believe it. Feel like Rip Van Winkle. I'm talking about people who come into Walmart in their pajamas. Dear God, we've gone to the dogs. In this chapter, and especially in one verse, verse number 17, it speaks about how the kingdom of God becomes operative. And sometimes we misunderstand when we think of God's kingdom becoming operative and God appearing and showing up. We have all these ideas and thoughts of how he will do that. But I want to give us another side for the message this morning out of this passage. And then we're going to look just for a little bit at Luke chapter 1. Here the scripture says, Paul writing, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Now, something wonderful happens. The kingdom of God becomes operative in decided, committed, and disciplined people. Sometimes we think we can just float and skate through and it'll all be all right. But the truth is, God's kingdom becomes a reality when we are dedicated, we are committed, we have decided. Years ago, we decided we're going to serve the Lord. We decided we were going to church. We decided a number of things. We were going to tithe. We decided that we're going to give God the tenth, regardless. We decided that we're going to quit doing some things. And so in that decision, we didn't really have much as far as hearing a hallelujah chorus or angels appearing or anything like that. It was like something that we initiated and we kept. And as a result of that, God's kingdom began to operate in us. One of the most classic illustrations is found over in Luke chapter 1. And I was so inspired to read this past week of how God showed up in the life of a man named Zacharias and his barren wife, Elizabeth, both stricken, the Bible says two times, stricken in years, or they were seriously old. And he said, "You're going to have a child." Now, the thing that I see in this story that is so interesting is here this man, Zacharias, and the scripture says concerning him, he's about the business of God in the temple, and as he's in the temple doing what God set him to do, it says in verse 5, Luke 1, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, but they had no child." Now the next verse says, "So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division." Now here's a man who's just going through life with business as usual. He's in the temple. There he's doing what he's been doing for years. He is there. There's seemingly nothing going on. There's been no voice from God. There's no kingdom breakthrough. It's as if nothing is happening or working in his life. And then suddenly, the Bible is specific. It says an angel showed up on the right side. It's very descriptive of the altar. And it freaked him out. He was filled with fear. And the angel began to speak to him and lay out the plan of God that would set in motion the most powerful thing that's ever happened on planet Earth. There were no voices, nothing that would inspire. He was simply there. And the kingdom became operative in that man's obedience. You know, it's amazing how many people would, all of us would obey God and do what we need to do, and if we had some clue that God was going to do something and it would set in motion his will and all these fantastic things, and angels would show up and God would do all these things. But it says here, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." He said, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at your birth." Verse 15 says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll drink neither wine nor strong drink or smoke weed. He will also be filled with," I just threw that in, that's my own translation. "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah." Now watch this promise: "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." Amen. Your children are going to be saved. Don't listen to the devil's lies. "And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said, "Oh," to the angel, "how shall I know this?" Now, it wasn't like this man had great faith. It wasn't like, oh, he's just got unbelievable connection and faith. Because the next words comes out of his mouth. He said, "How, you explain this to me. I'm an old man and my wife is as old as me. We're both well stricken. I mean, how's this going to be?" He didn't have great faith. Or the angel, or God wouldn't have stricken him with dumbness. And he couldn't speak. He went out of there, he learned sign language in just a matter of time. Because he couldn't speak. And so here, in the process, in the general obedience of life, in just being, it says of Jesus, as his custom was, he went to church. As his custom was. Here was the custom of this man. He was simply there. In the great revival of the Welsh revival, Evan Roberts missed a Tuesday night meeting, and one dear old saint of God came to him and said, "Evan, we didn't see you last week." He said, "Well, I had to do some things and so forth." And she said, "Well, one of these times God's going to show up and you're not going to be there." I think that rings true in all of us. And so it is that this man is just simply faithful. And as a result of that, we got saved. We began to learn how to live for God. We had the conviction of the Holy Spirit began to deal with us about some things we ought to work on. And then we did those things, and as a result, dominion in our lives. You see, God has a part, but we have a part. Without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. He has chosen in his economy to work with people in the ordinary garden variety type of people in life. He has chosen to work with them, and simply because they are available. It is not being able, it's being available that God begins to do. Now I want to just say that there is a battle of self at all of us. Matthew says in Chapter 15 and 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornicators, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. This is man's greatest battle. It's the battle of self. Now, I know that there are always in church those people who say, well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls who do. But I'm going to tell you something. Sin comes in all kinds of forms. And what it does is when we're tempted, we begin to get a revelation of what is possible on the inside of us. Amen. You say, I'd never murder anybody. Well, what about that guy that cut you off this past week? Or anger, or resentment, or bitterness, or jealousy, or hatred, or strife. All of these are in the list of Matthew's list here in that the kingdom of self. And that's the challenge that we have. It's the kingdom of self. One man said that man who lives for self alone lives for the meanest mortal known. Another quote, he who lives only to benefit himself confers on the world a benefit when he dies. Merriam-Webster says, taking care of one's own comfort, pleasure, or interest excessively or without regard for others, this is Antichrist. You know what? We live in a world that is basically motivated by self-interest. And the truth is that we have a social order that is losing control because individuals have lost control of self. This is so real when it comes to seeing a breakthrough in the kingdom. I found a quote this past week of the lion tamer's defeat. The lion tamer's defeat. The cage door accidentally opened and Nero, the vicious lion, rushed out. Back, 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 Nero, back. His master yelled as he rushed on the scene. People were fleeing. Others were spellbound as the mad lion snarled and lashed. But he obeyed and concurred. He drove that lion back into his cage. The rest of the story is the lion tamer died eventually of acute alcohol poisoning. He could back down a lion, but he could not rule over himself. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You see, as people of God, we have a heritage that is so powerful all through scriptures and all through history that we have dominion over the self life. You can control your mind. That's a revelation. And so this is so real today in our world, the kingdom to be strong and to be what it needs to be is for the king to exercise dominion because there are always others who wish to rule instead of Jesus. There's always others. And that old devil, he's a cunning devil. He is a vicious devil. He will try the front door, the back door. You've heard it so many times. He'll try the window well. He'll do everything he can to get his kingdom established in every one of our lives, if he could. The second thing I need to say is, and I believe will help us, is the concept of ruling and reigning. It says, they shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. That's in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It means to rule over self. He will rule in life. He will have authority by one Jesus Christ. The word is a word in Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. It means literally in the Hebrew language, rule, dominion, governor, or indeed reign to have power. Ruleth. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth over his spirit than he that taketh a city. The word rule means to rule as a king, to reign. Now it's interesting, over in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Not just reign when we get to heaven, but reign on this earth. Whether you're a mechanic or whether you're a crusade evangelist or a missionary or working in Walmart or wherever you are, a painter, whatever. I'm telling you, God can give us victory wherever we are, just doing what we need to do and let God do what He can do. Hallelujah. In God's economy, church, there is a learning process of ruling and reigning so that we might rule and reign forever with Christ. Hallelujah. That's why it says when Jesus is talking to His disciples in Luke 22 and 28, He said, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Many years ago, I heard a sermon that was preached in our old church downtown by Howard P. Courtney. And that sermon was that saints of God, he said, I can't say for sure, but they might have to judge the lost, even their own families. There is a plan. That plan is awesome. It transcends this world and it transcends anything man can offer. It is the plan of God that we rule, that we reign in our self-life. We don't have to do what the flesh says. He said you rule in life by one, Christ Jesus. We're redeemed people. Amen. Unfortunately, so much of the church world, the fish is in the water, but the water's in the fish. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't have a doubt. The Spirit of God showed me that there's a bulldozer that's starting up, and the church world doesn't even hear it start. They don't even hear the engine turn over. Many of these mega churches and these would-be money grubbers that are on television lying to people and working them and merchandising them, telling them what they want to hear to get their money. Folks, I'm telling you something. The bulldozer has started up. And it's starting up in this government. And it's starting up where people don't think they're going to jail. They're going to jail. Amen. And Roe versus Wade will be overturned. And God will step back on this planet in power and in blessing and revival, where there are people like Zacharias who go to the temple and faithfully do the will of God. No one, no voices, no angels, nothing. Just obeyed God and being there. And the angel showed up on the right side of the altar. He'll show up in your house. He'll show up in your car. He'll show up in this church. He'll show up in powerful and mighty ways to do His work. And the kingdom of God will become operative in the course of life, in ordinary life, in serving God. My kids can remember, and I don't toot my own horn. They can remember seeing Dad every morning reading his Bible, trudging off to a prayer meeting. And I want to tell you something. If you don't have an appointment in prayer, chances are you won't pray. Oh, it doesn't mean you just won't, but chances are. How many know if you didn't have a time to go to work, you show up in your pajamas? I bet I don't see one member in this church come to Walmart in their pajamas when I'm there. There they come, flopping around with their hair all out. I never seen anything like it. Trying to keep my mouth shut. It's hard. I want to close with the beauty of a disciplined life. There's the history. You're going to have a son, Zacharias. I want to tell you, the most joyous day of my life is when my wife found out we were going to have a baby. We had everybody in Bible school praying for us. Here he is. He's stricken in years. That tells me with God all things are possible. Number two, his wife was willing. That number two tells me that God's with God all things are possible. Hey, you just missed a good place to say amen, men. And then he had a baby, and they said, oh, you're surely going to name him after the family, aren't you? He got the blackboard out. I can see him writing. I can just see him. His name is J-O-H-N, and his tongue was loosed, and he could speak. God had to shut him up for 9 months because he had so much unbelief. I wonder how many people here today, me included, if we had unbelief, God would just make it where we couldn't talk. Pastor Paul said, now let's shout hallelujah, and we say, what's wrong with y'all? He began to speak. His wife had a baby. And when Mary came to visit her cousin, and she gave her the salutation, hey, how are you? The Bible says that John the Baptist began to kick inside Elizabeth. I'm going to tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, something's going to move. Something's going to move. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. How can this be that we would reign in life? How do we reign? Is it possible? Well, listen, I'm going to give you the answer. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. Oh, you were cowardly before, hiding behind doors. You couldn't speak. You were so intimidated. You were so afraid of all the things that could happen to you. And he said, you're going to be a witness to the uttermost part of the earth. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, God gives you ability to speak. That word, you shall receive power, is dunamis. It is inherent power from within. There's a generator on the inside. There's something within that begins to turn, begins to move. No matter what your job is or where you are or what you're up against, it doesn't matter. The Bible says you will have an ability, dunamis power. Now, this is absolutely against the carnal churchgoer. I wouldn't give you 3 cents for churchgoers or the church world. Amen. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, I want you to know, is life and peace and dominion. And the flesh cannot please God. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. There are frustrated people. There are frustrations in serving God. Why? Because of the energy of the flesh. God will give us the energy and provision that we need and the ability of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference that makes the difference. That's the difference that makes the difference. That's what God uses to touch the hard heart. That's what God uses to touch those that have an evil report. That's what God uses who are abused in a marriage and a relationship. The Holy Ghost. Power God. Ezekiel said, is it possible for someone that's so steeped in perversion and so lost and bound? Ezekiel the prophet said, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my commandments and do them. He said, I'll put within you a new heart. He said, I'll do a heart transplant. This is something God can do. This is something God can do. Amen. This isn't signing a church membership. This isn't trying to turn over. This is something the Holy Spirit does. You shall receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Romans 8 says, and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We are to rule and reign over the old life by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That's the truth. He's called the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, one called alongside. One called alongside. Anyone that's ever been used of God. Catherine Kuhlman had to walk up 10 steps to a platform of a big auditorium that she was scheduled to speak in. And she said, every step I died, 1,000 deaths. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, every good preacher, every person who has faith to believe knows that the Holy Spirit is called alongside. And that's our only hope. Amen. Just because you can preach doesn't mean you're called. Amen. Dogs can bark. Amen. But they can't talk. And the Bible talks about those that are just yappers. Amen. You don't believe it? Turn on your television sometime. No, don't waste your time. Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China, he said these words, we are supernatural people, born by a supernatural birth. We wage a supernatural fight and are taught by a supernatural teacher and led by a supernatural captain to assured victory. This is what God uses. Jesus reigned in life by the decisions. And this is where the rubber meets the road. By the decisions. It says concerning Christ, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And in the garden, he said, when he sweat drops of blood in the garden, before he even went to the cross, can you imagine such an agony, such pain? What a horrible thing. The sin of the world, the sickness and the curses of mankind. It said, he sweat drops of blood. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And because of that, we can will, we can make a decision about our lifestyle and where we'll be and how we'll minister and what we'll do for God. And it's in those simple decisions. Zacharias just showed up, went through the motion, went through. But he was righteous before God. And because he was there, the angel of the Lord came on the scene. And God did a miracle. I want to close with this statement. If you're going through battles, if you're struggling mentally, if you're having real serious fights in your mind, listen. Isaiah chapter 59 and 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. In the greatest times of battle in ourself, the greatest work is being accomplished. I just told a person this past week, I said, the devil won't show you the scoreboard. You're winning. The devil won't tell you that you're winning. You say, I went to church, I gave my tithe, I witnessed, I prayed. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. God. God's going on. He's not asleep. He's not far off. He's real. And the Bible says when he was there, the angel of God began to open up and the kingdom became operative. John the Baptist and Jesus. And oh, you know the rest of the story, all the Gospels. It says in Isaiah 14 that the devil will be revealed for what he is. And he said, is this the one that shook the nations? It said, is this the one that gave us so much grief? Is this the one that deceived us and enslaved us and afflicted us with all manner of affliction? Is he the one? I'm telling you, when Jesus went to that cross, all hell opposed him. But he went all the way. And a man helped him, a black man helped him carry that cross. He got to the top of that hill and he looked out on all those people. Oh, God. He saw the very ones that he created. He saw maybe the ones he healed. I don't know. He saw the families of people, and they were lost. They were hopeless. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But that old thief got a revelation that day in the course of life. Listen, even at the end, he was where he was supposed to be. He said, we belong here. We've committed crimes. But God showed up. Because on his right side was the Son of God. God showed up. How's he going to show up? I wish I knew. I'd write a book. But he will. He will. He showed up for Loretta in a hospital room and spoke in an audible voice to her. He showed up in my daddy's life. He showed up in my mama's life. He showed up in our family. And on that cross, he said, we deserve this. And even there in his dying moment, Jesus was there. Oh, man. And the other one began to do what the world does so many times. They mock preachers like me and you, people like us who go to church and people like us who try to live right. Amen. He said all these slanderous things. Get ready for it, folks. It's going to happen. But God's got a big bulldozer. And it's coming. And Jesus said, what wonderful news, what wonderful ring in his words. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And he went from the dusty trails and the streets of stealing and running scams and living a vile and a horrible life to walking on the streets of gold. That's God. That's Jesus. Muhammad can't touch it. Buddha can't touch it. All the religions and isms of the world can't touch it. But Jesus touched it when he stepped on this planet 2,000 years ago, went to a cross, defeated hell, death, and the grave. And because he lives, we will also live. We'll never die. We have eternal life in Christ. Glory! We'll see our loved ones. We'll see our friends. We'll see our mama. We'll see our daddy. We'll see our grand. We'll see those that love Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Streets of gold. Ha ha. And he says to this church, neither do I condemn thee. Glory. Go and sin no more. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. You don't feel like getting up and eating that coffee from the last night or 2 days ago. And you open that Bible. He's there. When you get in that car to go to work, job you hate, he's there. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on loving Jesus. Just keep on believing God. And he'll show up at the right time. He'll show up at the right time. And he'll say, fear not, Zacharias. The kingdom has become operative today. Get ready, church. We're going to see a revival that's going to literally shake this city. It's going to shake this county. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your goodness, for the helper, the paraclete of heaven. It goes beside us, walks with us, helps us, directs our steps, keeps us from trouble and witchcraft, keeps us from car wrecks and trouble, keeps us from wicked and evil, low-down people. Oh, God, we would have been vile and low-down, but you reached down and picked us up and redeemed us by your precious blood, and now we're children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you give us authority over our minds to control. And we will just keep on serving you. Going to a small group, reading the Bible, going to church, tithing, giving the gospel tract. Thank you that in the course of life, that's how you work. Your kingdom becomes operative in people who just keep on keeping on. Glory. While our heads are bowed, in the next 3 minutes could be a miracle for you. In 3 minutes, how many today would raise your hands and say, I'm not ready to meet God. I need forgiveness. I want to be saved. Just put them up and put them back down. Pray for me. Amen. Just raise it up. Amen. How many today? God bless you. Honest heart here. How many more? Say, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know if I can stand before God now. Raise your hands. Come on. This is an opportunity. Maybe you knew the Lord and you gave up. You gave up. You just quit. You said, I can't do this. No, you can't, but you can with Jesus. How many today would raise your hands and say, I'm bound by some kind of vice. I need forgiveness. I didn't get prayer. I'm bound by horrible, horrible driving. Amen. Spirit, it's a driving spirit. Let's stand. Amen. Do we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus? It washes. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. You know, these altars are a place where I always found hope as a boy. I always found hope at an old altar. When I was facing life, facing the uncertainty of life. When I was a boy, I had terrible nightmares. I would walk out of the house and be gone. They didn't know where I was. They had to find me. They had to put cold water on me. Demon spirits would torment me. My mother was tormented with a big white object like a ball, big white that would try to overcome her. That same spirit came after me, and I rebuked it, and it went away. If you're troubled in your soul, why don't you take a few minutes and talk to God about it? You'll walk out of here completely different. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Let's sing it, shall we?
Oh, the blood of